folks out that are not with us today. We want to remember those in prayer that can't be here. If you're joining us by way of the internet, once again, we just welcome you to praise and worship with us. Just create that atmosphere, and I believe He'll come and touch your heart. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, Blessed Be the Lord God Almighty? We'll try to see. Father in heaven, we love You.
Worship You.
Be seated for a moment. I'd like to just go ahead and bring the prayer request before you. I'd like to ask Brother Joe Drum if you'd be prepared to lead us in prayer once these are announced. We want to keep Sister Hannah Gunter in prayer. She's still very weak. That request was given to us by Brother Larry. So let's keep her in prayer, amen. I believe she just had surgery. Did she come through it okay? We want to remember the Clayvilles. They're in, I think that says Arkansas, if that's correct. Not sure. Well, we know they're away, so we want to remember them in prayer. We want to remember Sister Becky in prayer. We want to remember the Whitlocks. They're just having some car trouble. God would help them get that situation taken care of. Brother Keith is having to work this evening. I want to remember the Irishes. They are away. That God would bring them safely back to our assembly. Amen. I want to remember Sister Sheila. I believe she's having back trouble. And that's all the prayer requests I have at this time. Brother Joe, if you want to come forward. Let's all stand. Are there any unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows the need. Amen, brother.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as I hold these requests in my hand, Lord, and you've heard it spoken, Lord, also those that have raised their hand, Lord. Lord, we know you see it and you hear it all. Lord Jesus, you are in control. We praise you, Lord God. Lord, you are in control of everything that goes on. Lord, most of all, you see your little bride, your precious bride, Lord. Lord, you see what they're going through. You see what's happening in their day-to-day life. Lord, as we are tested and tried, Lord, in this hour, Lord, we know it's for our good. Some way, somehow, Lord, it will be to your glory and your honor. We're thankful for that, Lord. Lord, we worship you tonight. We praise you, Lord. Lord, there's many that need you desperately, Lord. Lord, we pray that you just reach your hand down, Lord, with your healing hand. Lord, let them accept that, Lord, by faith. Lord, to know that you are near and you want them to accept you. Accept it, Lord Jesus. Lord, just continue to bless in the service tonight. Lord, bless the speaker. Lord, anoint our ears that we might hear. And we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory for it all. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. Let's sing that song, The More That I Surrender. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
Sanctified.
Jesus. Hallelujah. So glad I've been washed in that precious blood. Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Come forward. We'll take up our evening offering. Amen. Brother Tom, if you'd lead us in prayer. I'd like to sing that song, Think About His Love.
that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. One more time. Sing it together now. Yes, think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace.
Of the Lord tonight. I'm glad because I know that we're living in a very important time, and it's good for us to get together in the house of the Lord, even if there's only a handful of us tonight. We have a number of folks that are not with us tonight, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad Brother Darrell's here, and more and more we come to appreciate the shelter of God's safety in times that we're living in. And I was listening to somebody today. There were two people that were talking in the shop, and I was, you know, next in line, so I wasn't trying, but, you know, what you overhear is always better than what you hear. And I couldn't help but talking to them. There were, somebody had died in that family, and they were just going back and forth, and they were talking about the weather and talking about, you know, nations and everything. It was really quite interesting what they were talking about. And the lady finally looked at this gentleman. She said, you know, maybe we are. According to the Bible, maybe we are living in the end time. And I thought, if I wasn't in a hurry, I just would have started right in and said, you're absolutely right. We are living in the end time. And it is good to be in the place of safety in the end time, that's for sure. We're glad you're here tonight. And we want to remember Sister Hannah Gunter especially this evening. And she's back home and just trying to rest and get things reestablished again. Alan and Hannah are in a new house. And they've had lots of changes over the last little while. So the help that was mentioned in that email, I know it'll be a blessing to them to be able to get through the next couple of weeks and all the adjustments and so forth that they're going through. We have a number of folks that are out, as we've said, and Brother Jaron's already mentioned that. The Clavels, for instance, they're up visiting Noah's Ark this week and taking advantage of their few days before their school starts. So just a an honor to have all of you with us tonight. So we're going to turn it over to Brother Darrell and let him come and just speak what's on his heart tonight. And let's sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And the way I look at it, I was raised in a church where if you took all the people of the church on a Sunday and had them all in the same building all at the same time, it would have only filled the front row of the church. So size never matters to me. It really doesn't. And I know it doesn't, Brother Darrell. He preaches lots and lots of different places under lots and lots of circumstances. And he's a very difficult man to get a hold of because, you know, he has very few times, service times, where he's not ministering somewhere. So I feel like we're honored tonight to have him to come and be with us tonight. And I've known Brother Darrell a long time, and he's a brother who has just a tremendously consistent testimony and a good report among folks all over the world, and I really appreciate him coming tonight. So let's sing a little chorus, Have Your Way, and we just prepare our hearts and turn it over to Brother Darrell this evening. Have your way. Have your Spirit, feel Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, we invite you to come, Lord, and just speak to our hearts as individuals tonight. Lord, we know that when it comes to the Gentiles, Lord, you don't deal with multitudes of people all at the same time, but Lord, you deal with us as individuals. And we desire, Lord, tonight for you to hear, for us to hear your voice tonight, Lord, very clearly and very personally. Father God, we just want to lay down the busyness of our day and our week and just rest a while at this little oasis place, Lord, this little place of refreshing that we have before us tonight. We humbly come into your presence, Lord, and ask that you'd forgive us of our failures and our weaknesses. And as we stand in a day, Lord, facing oncoming judgment, we realize there are many people, Lord, that are facing an oncoming storm tonight, and many believers, many churches, many friends that we have, Lord, that are in the path of this another great storm. But Lord, we know that you care about everything we go through, and you care about where we are and the kinds of dangers that lurk all around us, Lord. We commit these saints into your hands, Lord, and just pray that you have your hand of protection upon each one. May your angels encamp around about them, Lord, and keep them safe. We commit our evening now into your hands, Lord, and pray that you'd be with us and anoint our brother to speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Sing them one more time as Brother Daryl comes. Have your way.
Privilege to be a Christian, amen. And as Brother Barry said, we're certainly living in troubled times, and it seems like the judgments is in the lands, and the wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and earthquakes. And but it really shouldn't take us by surprise. He told us it would be this way. And he said, when you see these things begin to happen, just to lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And it's so good to not only know where we come from, but it's good to know where we're going, amen. And to know that we are, there is safety under the wings of Jehovah. You know, the prophet of God said, man builds his bomb shelters out of concrete and rebar and all those things and digs down into the earth trying to find shelters. But God uses feathers. He gathers us under his wings. Amen. And what a privilege it is tonight to know the living God and to know that every promise that he's made in his word, he'll keep that promise. Amen. He promised to send Elijah, and he did it. He promised to give us the Holy Ghost, and he did it. He promised to send Jesus Christ, and he did it. He also promised to rapture us, and he will do that. Amen. He will keep that word. And so we're resting in that tonight. I'm certainly glad I'm not dependent on my ability, and I'm certainly sure that you're not dependent on your ability, but we are trusting in him who has made the promises. Amen. But, you know, we're living in the hour that I believe that God just doesn't want us to... I'm not going to sing. If y'all want to sit down, I can't sing, you know. But, you know, we're living in an hour that these things that are happening. But I think, you know, that we're also living in an hour that God just doesn't want us to know who Brother Branham was, and not that we would just know who God was better, though we desire to know God in a better way. But I believe we're living in an hour that God wants us to know who we are. And remember now, you'll never have the right kind of faith until positionally you know who you are in the Word. Amen. And so you've got to have an understanding that the Word is speaking to you. Amen. Because if you don't have that understanding, then it's just a letter that somebody wrote. But if you have the understanding that he's speaking to you, then it's not just a letter, but it's actually a love letter. Amen. And so we're able to read between the lines. So if you have your Bible this evening, we want to turn to Luke chapter 1. We want to read from starting at verse 30. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it such an honor to come and be with you once again. It's been a while since we've been over this way, but it's always good. COVID to come. And I actually texted Brother Barry and said, "Is the church changed? Is it still at this address?" And he said, "Yep, we're still here." So it's good to be able to come and be with you tonight. Amen. And we just trust something will be said to help you, encourage you along the way. And we desire your prayers. We're going to be at home this weekend, and then we leave Tuesday for Nicaragua. Be over there with Brother Lindsey McGrady at some services down there. So we desire your prayers. It's a very hot time of year to go into Nicaragua. And so we just desire your prayers that we can get in and out safely and back home to our families. Amen. So now we want to read from Luke chapter 1, and verse 30. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 1, chapter 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? "Thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great." And I believe he is, don't you? "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God..." Hallelujah. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Amen. I remember when my daughter was hurt real bad, and my wife was kneeling beside her bed one night in the hospital room, and she was praying to the Lord about Jessica's condition and Jessica's outcome. And while she was praying, the Lord spoke to her this scripture here, Luke 1:37. It's just got a special place in our hearts, in our home. "For God spoke to my wife and said, For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Not emotion, not sensation, not feelings, not goosebumps, but thy word. "And the angel departed from her." You know why the angel left? Because Mary received his message. And when the angel had delivered his message, the angel left the scene. Because the one that the message was for had received the message. And now the message was being manifested through her. Glory. That would make the Pope shout. Let's bow our heads. Amen. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes tonight. I realize it's a Wednesday night. But I want to speak to you just for a few minutes on it's me. It's me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful to bow our heads to you tonight, Lord. And in our hearts, Lord, we are thankful that your word is still true. And Lord, I'm so glad in this day of hardness and coldness on the people that your word still has an effect upon our hearts. Yes, Lord. That when we read it, Lord, it still stirs us on the inside. For Lord, we believe we're living in a time that the word is losing its effect upon the masses of the people. But Lord, we are so grateful that it still affects us. And Lord, as we yield ourselves in this congregation into your hands tonight, Lord, may you come, dear God, step out of the pages of the Bible and walk among us, Lord. Let us see the reality of your word and what you're doing in this hour. And Lord, we believe that you are our healer and our deliverer. And we believe, Lord, that you are mindful of everything that we are going through. So, Lord, as Peter said in your word, we cast our cares upon you because we know you care for us. And Lord, may we realize that tonight. And may we be as those little eagles that the prophet talked about, that you set the mother, set them down into the green pastures. And Lord, they were just having a Pentecostal jubilee because they knew that their mama was up on the rock watching over them. And Lord, may we be that same way tonight, Lord. May we just rejoice in the green, blue grass of Thy revelation, Lord. Knowing that You've got it all in control. And where You're bringing us to that place that You had of us in Your mind before there was a world. Bless Brother Barry, Lord, the officers here of the church, God. Let them be a great light to this generation, Lord. And may they shine forth in the darkness of this area to find those last seeds, Lord, who are hiding, Lord, in this area. Bless Your church, Lord, and those around the world tonight as they gather in Your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. May God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't the Word of God wonderful? I want to start with a quote tonight, if you don't mind me reading quotes. It said, now when Israel began to cry for their deliverance, God began to hear and provided a way of escape and sent Moses to them. But how strange it was, after crying for deliverance, and when deliverance was brought to them, the very thing they were crying for. They were crying for deliverance. And when God sent them Moses and deliverance was brought to them, they failed to recognize it and refused it and had to suffer 40 more years. Think of that tonight. 40 more years they suffered before they realized that the deliverance that they sought after had already been given to them. So what do we learn from this? That no matter how great the anointing would be, no matter how great the revelation would be, how rich the anointing is, how great the gift is that has sent among us to bring the Word, if we don't recognize that it's for you, it'll do you no good. You know, my daddy died of Alzheimer's. And it's a terrible disease that in the last few years of his life, he couldn't remember nothing. He didn't even know who he was. And I was over there, had a little party for him at the nursing home, and I was there. And the man came out passing out gifts. And they called my daddy by his name, James Ward. And my daddy just laid there because he did not recognize they were speaking to him. And I said, Daddy, you better raise up, buddy. They got a present for you. But he just laid there because he failed to recognize who he was. You see, all the great revelations will mean nothing to you if you don't realize it's me. The Word is speaking to me. You see, we're living in the age of identification. You can't cash a check unless you got some ID. You can't try to get on an airplane unless you got some ID. We're living in an age that you've got to have something that you can show someone, this is who I am. Amen. Now, we understand by the message, Perfect Faith, that faith is based on forgiveness. Before you can ever have faith in the Word, you must first believe that the Word is for you. You see, your personal revival is when you recognize the Word is speaking to you. Amen. You see, our scriptural identification must be found in the Word of God. A Word body must be built upon a Word frame. Is that all right? Amen. So your revival is when you recognize the Word is speaking of you. Now the prophet said this. He said, Christ in the church. Christ is in the church reconciling the people to God. He promised to do it. It's been written. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, do you believe that? And the congregation says, amen. He said, I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. He's just waiting now to be called on the scene. And the only thing that can call him on the scene is for us to awaken him in ourselves. Hallelujah. Call him on the scene. It's for us to awaken him in ourselves. Because remember, he said, a little while, the world will see me no more. But ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you. Then where is Christ? He's right here with us now, just where he said he would be. But if we don't recognize that, we'll sit like we're dead. Amen. We'll sit like we've got amnesia, that we don't know who we are. Think of it, friends. Amen. Now remember, the prophet talked about the Welch revival and how a bunch of men went from the United States to go see this great revival. They wanted to find it. They wanted to find what it was all about, to find out what building it was in. Where were they holding the Welch revival? So they're walking down the street and they're trying to find this building. And they see, you know the story, they see a policeman, the prophet said, standing on the corner, swinging his billy stick, singing a gospel song. And they go up to him and said, sir, we're looking for the Welch revival. We've come from America to see this great move of God. But notice, he never gave them a GPS location. Huh? You see, they never went to see him because he was a cop. They didn't go ask him where the revival was because he was a policeman. They went and asked him where the revival was because he was singing a gospel song. And they said, sir, where is the Welch revival? He never said, go two blocks, turn right, turn left, turn right, go behind the library. There's a little building, you'll find it there. He never did that. But he looked right at him and said, you're looking at it. Oh, the Welch revival. And in this hour when somebody wants to know, where is the Bride's revival? Can you show them? Can you tell them where it is? Amen. He tipped his hat off and said, sir, the Welch revival's in here. Amen. He was the Welch revival. It's me. I am the Welch revival. If we can only understand that, that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ. His Word made flesh. You are the reflection of His Word. Where is the Welch revival, sir? What building is it in? We want to see it. He said, it's me. It's me. It's in my heart. And today we ought to be. We ought to be Jesus Christ in action. Not just a bunch of quoters. And I've got nothing wrong with quoting it. But we need more than quoters. We need some livers. A living word in a living people. Just because God don't need my ability. God don't need my education. All God needs is my skin. Amen. He just wants our skin that he can kenos, empty himself into. You see, all God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ is, he's poured into the church. Yeah. Then we should be the manifestation of the life of Christ in action. The branch. The branch. And remember, the prophet of God said, if that vine, if axe ever rise, if they ever produce another branch, if that vine ever produces another branch, they will write another book of Acts behind it. Hallelujah. Why? It's the living God in a living people carrying out his word. Amen. You see, he was so full of the Welch revival till he was the Welch revival. And we ought to be so full of Christ. We ought to be so full of Christ till we reflect him in the power of his word. That's allotted to us in this day. Amen. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be the light of this age. Manifesting the gospel. Luther was the light of his day. Wesley was the light of their day. Pentecost was the light of their day. But we're further up the road now. We're coming into the bride, the called out, the prophet said, the elected. This is the bride age. Hallelujah. Remember, he said, if you are, if that's who you are, the elected, the called out, the bride, if that's who you are, then you're just like that officer. He had it in him. And if that's who we are, we've got Christ in us. Not a church member, not an organization, not a denomination, but a living God and a living people. Fulfilling the promises of His Word. Hallelujah. The bride's revival is the opening of the Word that stirs her. For she sees her position. She sees her hour. She sees I'm not just part of the move. I am the move. She catches the revelation. She catches the revelation. And she declares, it's me. It's me. You see, the seven church ages is God dealing with the church. That's why it's called church ages. Huh? And this is the last stage. So whatever he's going to do, he must do it now. My young boys come to me and say, Brother Darrell, I feel a call in my life to minister. What should I do? I say, here's what I always tell. I tell every one of them. Just get neutral. Just let go and let God. If God's going to use you, he's got to use you now. Can't wait no 100 years to use you. We ain't got 100 years. Come on, somebody. This is now. Today is the hell. Someday, some glorious day. Why can't it be today? Amen. Seven churches is God dealing with the church. This is the last stage. Whatever God's going to do, he must do it now. For when this age ends, he will never call another Gentile. You see, the key to the whole thing is to fall in love with Jesus. That's where so many people are lacking today. They can quote it. They can listen to it. But we fail to express it. Somehow we've got cold. We've let Laodicea lure us into sleep. And that relationship, that passion, has somehow dwindled. You see, the key to the whole thing is not how much we can quote, not how much we can memorize, though we should do that. I'm not against that. But what good does it do us to memorize it? You know how I got through school? I don't mind to tell you. Memorization. I didn't know none of that stuff. But I studied it until I could memorize it. And when I passed the test, I forgot it. I never did know it. And a lot of people, they memorize the message. They can quote the message, but they don't know it. Because it's more than a quote. It's more than a book. It's a reality. It's a passion. It's a love affair with God. You see, the world will know that we are Christians. Not by how much we quote. Not by our license plate. Not by our eagle belt buckle. But the world will know that we are Christians by our love. Amen. You see, when you love right, everything else falls into place. Love produces confidence. Confidence produces trust. You see, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing's not faith. People here still don't have faith. Hearing's not faith, but faith cometh by hearing. Is that all right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you trust in what the Word is saying to you. Now listen to me for a minute. You'll find where there's a lack of desire to forgive, you will find there's a lack of love. Huh? People do things and say things to one another, and there's no remorse because there's no love. And where there's no love, there's no forgiveness. And where there's no forgiveness, there is no faith. Because faith is based on forgiveness. Huh? People hold grudges. Something that happened 10 years ago when the church had church trouble. And they still hold on to it. They will not let it go. They don't understand. They're not poisoning that person that they're holding that against. They poison themselves. Huh? What it is, it's a lack of love. When you love somebody right, love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Amen. Is that all right, friends? Faith is based on forgiveness. Now we're living in the hour that the prophet of God said that the love would be so far away in the last days that the only love there would be left would be between the elect of God's people. Huh? We're living in the day that self-love has took the place of the true love of God. That's why the number one word in 2013 was the word selfie. the number one word in the world was selfie. Taking a picture of yourself. And now they have workshops to teach you how to love yourself. Because it's exactly what Brother Branham said would happen. We're here. And if they're manifesting that, there's a people on the earth that's manifesting this. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You see, where there's love, there's forgiveness. Now, Jesus expressed that on the cross. When they beat him till they couldn't beat him anymore, and his blood was poured out like water. His face was swollen shut. His eyes were swollen shut. His head was the size of a washtub, all swollen out. The Bible said his face had been marred more than any man's face had ever been marred. But Jesus looked upon the people that done him that way, and he loved them. He said, Father, forgive them. Why did he say that? Because he loved them. Look at Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery and all that he went to. But when he finally found his brothers again, they said, we're going to get it. We're going to get it now. We're going to pay. But Joseph looked upon those who sold him into slavery and he forgave them because he loved them. Amen. Amen. Think of it, friends. Think of it this morning, this evening. He looked upon those who done him that way, and he loved them. Amen. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he reached down into the muck and lifted us up. He loved us, who was unlovable. Yet he loved me. He loved me, Brother Barry, when I couldn't even love myself. Amen. Think of it, friends. Christ passed over millions to touch you, to show you that he loved you. And what should that do to us? How should that make us feel? How should that affect our worship service? When we realize he passed over millions to come to you. Then if we see, we can have confidence in what his word says. If you see, if he loved me enough to die for me. If he loved us enough to die for us, then he loved us enough to heal us. He loved us enough to lead us. He loved us enough to forgive us. He loved us enough to rapture us. If he loves us, he loves us. You remember when we was little and we used to go to school and we'd have these little daisies. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. And you get down to the end to find out whether she does or whether you don't. You know, he's got a flower like that. But it says he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Hallelujah. He loves us. And real, genuine love produces confidence that he's forgiven us. And to know that we're forgiven, that produces faith in what the Word says I am by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, I was like that eagle. I was like that eagle that was in the barnyard. He was raised by chickens. He thought he was a chicken. He tried to act like them. Tried to walk like them. Tried to do everything that a chicken did because he thought he was a chicken. I did the same thing. My papa, my mama's daddy, he was a drunk. My Uncle Harold died a drunk. My Uncle Charlie died a drunk. My Aunt Frances, my mama's sister, is still an alcoholic. All my mama's people are drunks. My grandma used to say, Clarence can't hold his liquor because he's half Indian. It was just in our family. So when I got old enough and I got into the army, you know what I did? I drank. Because I tried to be like them. I was like that eagle in the barnyard. I thought I was a chicken. But the prophet said one day, Mama realized she had one missing. And she flew, oh God, she flew over the barnyard looking for her own. And she let out an eagle scream. And when that junior heard that voice, everybody else ran, but Junior looked up. And when he looked up, he saw the head. He saw her eyes. He saw her beak. He saw her feet. You know what he said? When he looked up and saw that, and he looked at himself, he said, it's me. It's me. That's who I am. I'm more than a son of James Elbert Mary Joe Johnson Ward. I am a son of God. You see, Jesus had perfect faith because he relied on what he was. Now look, I'm not having a heart attack. I got a heart monitor on in it. When I get the sweat, it tries to fall off afterward. So I just keep trying to hold it on. So I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just trying to keep the monitor from falling off so they don't have a heart attack. Amen. Now, in other words, I'm just trying to prevent a heart attack. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus had perfect faith. Oh, my. Jesus had perfect faith because he relied on what he was. He knew he was loved by the Father. Can you say amen to that? He relied in knowing he was the Word. And he had faith in the God who had made him the Word. He knew what he was, therefore he relied upon what God made him. He recognized himself in the written Word. Now let me show you what I mean. The Bible said he went into the temple on the seventh day as it was his custom. Now I know there's a lot of people around the message think they don't have to go to church no more. They can just stay home and have church in the kitchen. But just remember, friends, Jesus went to church. The Bible said, as it was his custom, he entered into the temple on the seventh day. And the prophet of God said, if we got Jesus in our heart, we can't wait for the doors to get open. Amen. I ain't talking about vacation and stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. He knew. He relied upon what God made him. He went into the temple on the seventh day, as it was his custom. And the priest handed him a scroll. Now, he didn't say, man, I didn't know I was going to be preaching. Now, Sister Anna, you play something on that piano right there. Let me see if I can find something to preach because I didn't know I was going to preach this morning. And I'm sure there's something here. No, that's not what he done. The priest handed him the book. And the Bible said he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Deliverance. To preach deliverance to the captive. Recovering of sight to the blind. I'm so glad he put that in there. Hallelujah. Amen. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister. And he sat down, and the Bible said the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. If you'll allow me to give the hillbilly translation to what he said right there, because I'm hillbilly, I understand hillbilly real good. So if you want to know what Jesus was really saying, here's what he's saying. When he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, what he was really saying was, it's me. It's me. It's me. He relied in knowing he was the Word. And the prophet said he had faith in the God who made him the Word. Then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? Huh? The Word says a believer shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Word says these signs shall follow them that believe. You see, believers believe. Amen. That's what they're called. Yep. Believers. You know, asked an old fellow down home one time, said, sir, we want to ask you a question. I said, all right. I said, why do you believe? He said, oh, that's easy. I'm a believer. He said, well, sir, we understand that. But why are you a believer? Because I believe. Yep. Sir, we know that. I understand it. But what I'm trying to get to know is, why do you believe? He said, because I'm a believer. Listen, buddy, I understand that. But I'm just wanting to know, why are you a believer? He said, because I believe. You see, believers just believe. Why do we have to complicate it? Just believe. Amen. Amen. You see, Jesus knew he was the Word manifested. He knew that when David said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, he knew that David was not talking of himself, for David saw corruption. But he knew that when David spoke that, he spoke it as a prophet, and he was prophesying that when he come, that I will not see corruption, because the Word said, I will not see corruption. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us to recognize that. Let that quicken to us to recognize ourselves in the Scripture and by faith say, it's me. It's me. The Word is speaking about me. You see, Brother Bram told the story several different times of a little boy who saw himself in the mirror. I know you know the story. Very familiar with all of us. Huh? Now, why do you suppose Brother Bram told that story? I personally believe it. Brother Billy Paul went to him and said, "You know, Daddy, I know you want to be very, very conservative, and you want to save money. And now, Daddy, you've been leaving about 30 or 40 minutes on every tape. You've been leaving it blank, and it's costing a lot of money. Is there any way you can tell a few stories and maybe take up some more tape space, and maybe we can use more tape, and we'll, in the long run, we'll save money?" I don't believe he did that, but I believe when Brother Branham told us these little stories, there was something he wanted us to understand. And he told this story about this little boy. And I got to look, and the last three times Brother Branham told this story before he died, he told it in identification, 1963. Oh God. He told it in things that are to be, 1964. And the last time he told this story was in the message leadership, 1965. Now, what was he trying to get us to understand? Now, you know the story. The little boy come down to his grandma's, another place Brother Branham said it was ain't. Where he come to don't matter. It's the meaning of the story that he wants us to understand. And the boy had never saw himself in the mirror, and he comes down to his grandma's house, and he's bored. He's looking around, and he's bored. And so he's playing around there, and he shuts the door, and all of a sudden, there's a boy. And he looks. He's never seen a mirror. He don't know what he's looking at. And he looks, and he moves, and the boy moves. And he waves, and the boy waves back. And he makes a funny face. And the boy makes a funny face. And he gets closer and closer to the mirror. And as he gets closer and closer, all of a sudden, he touches the mirror. And the revelation strikes him. And he spins around. He said, "What?" And remember, his mama and his grandma was watching him the whole time. And he spins around. He said, "Why, mama, it's me. I'm the boy in the mirror. It's me." And the prophet said, "That's what we want to look at tonight. I want to look at me, and I want you to look at yourself. As we look into God's great mirror of His Word, let's be able to identify ourselves with some that we're going to speak about. What's He telling us to do? Identify yourself with the Word." Amen. Some of the characters of other times, I want to see myself in God's looking glass. Because if anything will show you where you're standing, it's this book.
Yes, sir.
Not Facebook. This book. This book. He said, "I'm sure tonight we ought to find ourselves somewhere in some character of the Bible. So that we would know the outcome of that character and we would know what our outcome would be." Brother Branham said, "Find somebody in the Bible. Identify yourself with that person, and their outcome will be your outcome." I remember years ago, I heard the prophet say this. I was just a young Christian, and I thought, "I'll take Daniel." And I was turning in the Bible to find out where Daniel was. I was going to read about it. I wasn't married yet. I was still at home. And I was in my room. And I was looking to find where Daniel was in the Bible. And the phone rang. And something spoke to my heart and said, "Pick up the phone." And when I did, my mama had answered it in the kitchen. And she said, "Hello." And somebody on the other end said, "Is Daniel there?" Oh, glory. Identify yourself as a character in the Bible, and their outcome will be your outcome. Now, I thought, is that true? Can that really be true? If Brother Branham told us to do that, I thought, did anybody ever do that? Did anybody ever do that? And this quote became the reality. And I got to searching, and I found it. It was the black woman in Memphis whose son had got out and got a social disease and was dying of syphilis. You know the story. And she got down to pray. She said, "Lord, if I'd be like that Shunammite woman, so I couldn't have a child, but you gave me a child. So I've tried to raise him the best I know how, but he got in trouble." She said, "Lord, if I'd be like that Shunammite woman, where is your prophet? Where is Elijah?" Way off, you know the story. Brother Bama's on an airplane, and whatever happened, they had to make a landing. And they put him up in the Peabody Hotel, and he goes the next day to mail a postcard. And the Spirit of the Lord says, "Turn around, go the other direction." And he found himself walking in the neighborhood. And he was singing, "I'm one of them." And as he passed her, remember the prophet said, when she woke up from the dream, she went out. And she was standing there. And the prophet said, when he passed her, her back was wet from the dew.
She was standing at the gate waiting. And hear the prophet come down the road singing, "I'm one of them," being led by the Spirit, not knowing where he was at, not knowing where he was going. And he tipped his hat to her and he said, "Morning, Annie." And she said, "Morning, Parson." He said, "How did you know I was a preacher?" She said, "Not only that, sir, I know you coming." She said, "Where's your satchel? You're supposed to have a satchel with you." Now, for you people to think that God only speaks to the prophet, who told her that? She knew more about it than Brother Branham did. Say amen or ouch one. It's a God's truth. She said, "Where's your satchel?" He said, "It's in the room." And you know the story. He went in there and he said, "Lord, if this is why I'm here, have mercy upon this boy." Remember, he thought he's out on sea and he was grunting, laying there on the bed. She said, "He thinks he's lost at sea." And he said, "Lord, have mercy on this boy." And he cried out, "Mama!" It's getting light in the room. It's getting light in the room. But man said, when I left, he sat up on the side of the bed. Amen. Why? She identified herself in the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The Amplified Version says it this way, "I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." You see, if you were in God's thinking, you were in his thinking at the beginning. You've got eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life. Eternal life has no beginning. It has no ending. So if you've got eternal life, you are an attribute of God. Yes, in God's thinking before there was anything but him. Don't you see, if you're ever to be in heaven, you was already in heaven at one time. When we go to heaven, we're not going to someplace we've never been. We're just going home. But he said, "Your eyes, your stature, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is an expression, the expression word. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are." If it isn't, if you wasn't in his thinking, there's no way at all for you to ever be there. For he's the one that gives eternal life. And if you were there, you were in his thinking, your name and all. And he, by foreknowledge, ordained you to see this. He ordained me to see this. And those that are not ordained will never see it. Just be kind to them. Just love them. Because they will never see it. But the prophet said, "Remember, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the hour is here. Won't you believe him? Won't you give your lives to him? The hour is here. The hour is here for what?" The prophet said, "Remember, the hour is here." What for, Brother Branham? The hour is here to see these things. The seals have been loosed. The mysteries of God have been made known. That under the revealed word, we see ourselves in the true identity of the word. Amen. Is that all right, friends? Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the word mirror reveals to you our word image. I like that. The word mirror reveals to us our word image. Then I don't see Daryl Ward. I see the real Daryl Ward. The one that was in his thinking. Like the little boy, I look into his word. And like the little boy, I say, "It's me." That moment you recognize yourself. That moment you see yourself in the vision. Are you still with me? I don't know how long to preach here, but just can I have just a few more minutes? The moment you recognize yourself, the moment you see yourself in the vision. When you see your image in the mirror of his word, when you realize that you are the expression of a thought of God, when that moment that it strikes you that you're a part of the vision. Amen. God had a dream. God had a vision. God had a... whatever words you want to use, God had it. And that moment that you realize you're a part of it. And that will never be complete as long as you are out from under that. Because you're a part of God. And Brother Branham said, without you, God will never be complete. all the faults he has must come back to him. The moment you see yourself in the vision. You say, is that possible? Can a person really see themselves in the vision? If I show it to you by the message, will you amen it? Don't tell no story in church now. Prayer line 53. The woman seems to be going away from me. She's in a hospital or a doctor's office, a hospital room or something. She's being examined. And they're pressing on her side. It's on her left side. And there's a middle-aged man. It's a tumor. And it's in the left side of the woman. Now, there's two doctors. And one says it's to be operated on. And the other says it can't be operated on. And we want to believe doctors over the word. Got two doctors and neither one of them can agree on what needs to be done. Huh? But people put so much. I go to doctor's friends. I've got doctors. I got doctor friends. But I'm so glad when the doctor says, I can't help you, little girl. I'm glad I know Dr. Jesus. Hallelujah. People put so well. The doctor said mine's the worst case he ever seen. The doctors are wrong. There's a man down in Greenville, Tennessee. Went to the doctor. They did a PSA level on his prostate. They come back and said, sir, you've got cancer of the prostate. You need to come in. We need to get on it. He said, I'm a dairy farmer. I've got cows I got to take care of. So let me get my house in order. Let me get the things in order. I'll come in. I said, don't tarry, sir. We've got to get on this thing at your age. It's going to be lethal. He said, I'll be in a couple of days. He writes a note to his wife. He says, I cannot live battling cancer. He goes out into the woods. He takes a gun and takes his own life. He said, I'd rather die by my own hand than to die from prostate cancer. They had the funeral. About a week later, the doctor's office called and said they'd made a terrible mistake. The PSA level was on the wrong chart. It wasn't his. But you see, he believed the doctor to the point that he took his own life. Friends, I believe in doctors. But when the doctors say they can't help me, I know somebody who can. Oh, God. Hallelujah. There's two doctors there. One says it's to be operated on. The other says it can't be operated on. Is that the truth? Was that description exactly right? I see something moving. You've been prayed for before in a meeting, an evangelistic meeting. There's a man that was kind of dark-headed, thin hair. Why, it was me. I prayed for you. You had a tumor in the brain. You were healed. I see a light flash around you. You're healed with a tumor in the brain. You're not from this city. You're from Illinois. Go home. Jesus Christ makes you well. Yeah. He saw himself in the vision. Divine healing, 54. I trust he will give you the desire of your heart, knowing you're a Christian. You're not a critic. You're a firm believer in what I'm talking about, and that way I can help you. The first thing, you're a woman suffering with a woman's trouble. It's a female condition. You may not know this. Yes, you do. You do know it. You have trouble in your head, which is cancer, and it's on the brain. But God will make you well. You see, I see you sometimes just sitting, holding your hands like this. You've been in another meeting somewhere. You was holding yourself breathless. It was something that was taking place at a platform. Why, it's me. It's me. It was Portland, Oregon, when the maniac was condemned. I see him fall across my feet and roll across the floor. You're healed, sister. Jesus Christ makes you well. Yeah, he saw himself in the vision. He saw what took place in Oregon. I said, I just saw the maniac roll across my feet. It's me. It's me. He saw himself in the vision. You remember the green checkered shirt? Brother Bev said, this looks like the country where I'm going to shoot that. Well, I believe it was a caribou, if I remember right, 42-inch rack or something like that. This looks like the country. And somebody said, I have a green checkered shirt. Well, Brother Bev, nobody around here has that kind of shirt. He said, well, perhaps it'll be somewhere else, but this sure does look like the place where that vision was to take place. And Brother Bisco, I called Brother Bisco myself when I was studying this message. I called Brother, I said, Brother, can I talk to you just for a few minutes? And I asked him about this. He said, Brother Darrell, I didn't know. I had no idea. He said, 6 months before the hunt, Brother Branham called me and told me about the vision. He said, I believe it's 6 months. But he said, it meant nothing to me. He told me about the vision, but it meant nothing to me. You know why? He didn't realize he was in it. And if you don't realize you're in this, it won't mean as much to you. He says, I get up that morning to go hunting, and I go across a log, and I fall into a creek. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I go back into the tent. I reach into a duffel bag and said, Brother, it was dark. I just reached in, I put on this shirt. He hunted all day. He scoped all day. He ate his lunch. He told stories. They laughed. They prayed all day long. And they shoot the caribou, and they measured out 42 inches. And Brother Bear said, there's supposed to be a green checkered shirt. And he turned around, and he said, why, Brother Eddie? And Brother said, Brother Branham, I didn't know. I didn't know. It's me. I am the green checkered shirt. Amen. It's me. In our scripture reading now, in our scripture reading now, let's pick it up. The prophet of God, you know, nobody can tell a story like the Brother Branham. And the prophet of God told a story about the day before, how that after service, Mary and Joseph were sitting on the porch talking. And Mary said, oh my, wasn't the rabbi on fire this morning? My, what a fiery message he preached. How the people were responding. Well, I'd like to be in a few of those services. How the people, oh my, what a service we had. He said, but, you know, Joseph said, I just feel like reading some scripture. So I'm just so inspired. He said, oh, Mary, that's wonderful. He said, go get it. You know, in those days, the scrolls were rolled up like this. And they put them down in like an umbrella stand, sort of like thing that they just put the scrolls down in. And Mary goes in there not knowing, just goes in to take a scroll. There was Jeremiah, Zechariah, all the prophets rolled up in the scrolls there in that. And she just goes there and picks up one. But you see, as I said, the footsteps of the righteous were ordered of the Lord. And she brings it out. And Joseph opens it up. And he reads about in Isaiah about a virgin shall conceive. And when he got done reading, he said, Joseph, let me ask you something. He said, what was the prophet talking about? A virgin. What did he mean? What was he saying? A virgin shall conceive. And Joseph gave her the most profound answer. The prophet said, he looked at Mary and said, why, dear, I don't know. I don't know what he meant. But there's one thing I do know. If God said it, God is able to perform that which He said. Hallelujah. Let me tell you tonight, I don't know how God opened Jessica's eyes. I don't know how. Her brain was so damaged, there was nothing there. She should never be able to see again. I don't know how God made her see again. I don't know how God got her out of the wheelchair. I don't know how He did it. But I don't have to know. I don't have to know how He did it. I'm just glad that He did. I'm just glad they did. He made my baby see again. He made her walk again. I don't know. I worked in surgery. I worked in medicine. I could read MRIs. I could read CT scans. I don't know how. But He did it. Hallelujah. Jehovah is able to do what He says He will do. The next morning, Mary was on the way. The prophet said it was a Blue Monday wash day. She sees a flicker of light, and it gets her attention. She's thinking about these scriptures. As she's thinking about these things, about Isaiah, about what Joseph said, my, I tell you, Mary, I've always thought you was the prettiest girl in the land, but when I was reading those scriptures, my, just the expression on your face, did that scripture mean something to you? Because when I spoke that scripture, you just lit up. Does that scripture mean something to you? And she was thinking about that. Why did I react to that scripture like that? And she turned the corner and she got to the place where it was just her and her alone. That's where you're meeting. Not you and your mama, not you and your pastor. You and God alone. She got to that place and there in that place. And all of a sudden she looked up and there He was, a great light. A great light and an angel messenger stood there. Oh my, a light going all around him. He said, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored of God. in the meanest, wickedest city there was in Palestine. She had lived such a life until God chose her for a certain work He was going to do. She's looking right into His face. It startled her. Thou art highly favored of God. You see, God chose her. She never volunteered. Oh, here, pick me. No, sir. She wasn't looking for it. It came looking for her. I wasn't looking for this message. This message came looking for me. Mary knew. She just read the day before about Isaiah 9:6. She knew something was happening. She knew it was on its way. She knew the angel's message was scriptural. She thought about the porch. She thought about the scriptures. And it was at that moment, that very moment, that Mary realized, it's me. Isaiah was speaking of me. I am who Isaiah saw. And the vision. Oh, God, if I don't stir your soup, your spoon ain't no. It's me. It's at that moment of time that the scriptures was more than quotes. It was more than a book. More than a prophet's message. It was a reality. I am who the prophet was talking about. It's me. Isaiah was speaking of me. I am the vision. I'm who He wrote about. I am the written word of the prophet manifested on the earth. You see, God sent an angel messenger. Hello? God sent an angel messenger to her to reveal to her that she was the prophet's prophecy fulfilled. God sent a messenger to her to tell her, you are a part of the vision. A virgin shall conceive. What a strange thing for a man to say. There's never been a virgin conceived. A virgin shall conceive. How could that be possible? But at that moment she realized, it's me. No matter how crazy it sounds to the world, no matter how crazy they say that we are, the prophet's prophecy came out of the scroll and was now made flesh. And let me say, the message of Malachi 4 is no longer just in book form. No longer just in CD form. No longer just in MP3 or whatever format. It is now in the very desire of God's intention that the message would be in prime format. Hallelujah! That the word would be in flesh. God sent a messenger to tell her. She was the vision. But you see, she had to receive that message. It would have done no good for her to sit in church and just hear it. You see, when God sent Elijah up there by the brook of Cherith, I think is how you say that name. Somebody asked me one time, do you speak a foreign language? I said, yeah, English. I don't hardly know any of the words in the Bible. So whatever that river's called up there, that little brook up there that Elijah was by, God placed him up there. God provided the water. God sent birds to feed him. Is that the truth? Is that the word of God? But you see, no matter how much water God put up there, no matter how much food that the birds bought, Elijah had to receive that. He had to consume that water. He had to consume that food. And it's not enough to have the message on a coffee table. It's not enough to have it on the wall. It's not enough to have a tape room. We must consume it. We must become it, that it becomes flesh, because that's the only thing that'll sustain us in this wicked hour we're living in. She had to receive that message. She had to receive that the message was her. She had to acknowledge it and say, be it unto me according to thy word. In the wickedest, meanest, darkest city. Sound familiar? God sent a messenger with a light to tell her, you are the vision. You are the dream. You are the thought that I thought. The meanest, darkest age. We're living in it now. Can anything good come out of Laodicea? Once again, God has sent an angel messenger with a great light to cause us to refocus. Remember, she was looking down, but the light caused her to look up. The light caused her to refocus. Amen. She realized, it's me. You see, Eliezer searching out a bride for Isaac. If Brother Branham, I've been right in an hour. If Brother Branham types Eliezer, can you say amen to that? The one sent from the Father to find the bride. So if Brother Branham types Eliezer, and the searching out types the message, because that's what he came with, the finder was the message. As Isaac types the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. So Brother Branham types Eliezer. The Holy Spirit, the message of the hour, types the searching out. If Rebecca, who does she type? Think about it. If Brother Branham types Eliezer, the message types the searching out. If Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ, then who, my brother, my sister, is Rebecca? It's me. Not just the bride. It's me. Do you see that tonight? See, I can't fulfill Brother Branham, but Branham fulfilled that. But who did God send the messenger to? Behold, I send you, Elijah, the prophet. So who is Rebecca? It's me. It's got to be more personal than just the bride. It's got to be a personal revelation. That if there's only one in Hickory, the only one in Hickory, it's me. It's me. It's me. Hallelujah. Amen. You see how very fortunate it was for Enoch to type me. Because Enoch raptured Brother Barry. God raptured Enoch only to show us what he's going to do for us. We don't rapture because of Enoch. Enoch raptured because of us. God was showing in his life what he's going to do in your life. And in my life. And we by revelation must say, it's me. You see, I'm the one he died for. It's me. If I was the only one ever lost, out of all the billions of people who ever lived upon the earth, if I was the only one lost, he would have died for me. I'm the one he was striped for. I want you to understand, of all the billions of people that's ever lived upon the earth, if he was the only one that was ever sick, he would have took every stripe to cover every disease for you. I'm the one he was striped for. I'm the one he's coming for. I'm the one he loves. I'm the one he thought of. I'm the one he chosen. It's me. Can you see it? Can you say it for yourself? Can you look into God's mirror of his word and by faith can you say, it's me?
Yes, sir.
It's me. You'll never have the right kind of faith until you can see yourself in the Word. When you get the understanding that you're the one James spoke of when he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous one availeth much. When that strikes your heart, I'm the one James was speaking about. Then you'll pray different. Because you realize when you pray according to the Word of God, something's got to happen. I'm the one he's chosen. It's me. It's me. This is who I am. You see, you've got to say it for yourself. You've got to express it for yourself. It's a shame. There's nothing. I'm glad people clap. At least they do something in church. But it's a shame that we've become a people who only clap now. If we lack something, we... Nothing wrong with that. That's better than sitting dead. But you see, we're living in the age of the spoken word. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord clap, nod their heads. It's not what he said. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. speak the word. It is the spoken word age. You have a right to speak to that cancer. You have a right to speak to that disease. I am a son of God. This is my family. This is my wife. This is my children, just like Shamgar. This is my God-given property. Get your hands off of it. We have a right to speak the word as sons and daughters of God. Because the word says that the power of the spoken word. We're living in that age. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak it out. There's power. There's power in the tongue. There's power in the spoken word. You've got to see yourself in the word. As the musicians come, you've got to see yourself. I am the woman at the well. Don't you see? She was typing me. I'm the woman at the well that Jesus came to. I am the Rebecca that Eliezer sought out. I am Rahab that received the token. I am Mary that received the word of the Lord. I am the widow woman with the mill barrel that never run dry. Don't you see? They were typing you. I am the widow woman in the mill barrel that receives spiritual food in the time of famine. It's me. Their outcome is my outcome. They were typing out me. I see my reflection in the mirror of God's word. Can someone catch that tonight? Can you see that tonight? And by faith, can you cry out tonight? It's me. It's me. It's me. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. It's me. It's me. If there's only one in Hickory, the message would have come from me.
Yes, sir.
I am a son of God. He thought of me. He spoke me for this age. It's me. You know, I got a little bit of indie blood in me. Just very little. Just enough to like it, I guess. I like Indian stuff. I got a feather hanging on my mirror. If I'm crazy, just pray for me. I read a story one time that always stayed with me. It's a guy by the name of Burl. He's an award-winning flute player, Native American music. I got a couple of his tapes. I love to listen to it. It's just beautiful music. It kind of calms me, I guess. This guy was raised in New Jersey in a Jewish family. Went through all the customs. Wore the little hat on his head. Did all that they do. Now, why would a guy that was a Jew be an award-winning flute player of Native American music? Why would he do that? It's because he was raised as a Jew in New Jersey. But one day somebody came to his door and knocked on the door and gave him an open book. And in that book, he got to looking and he found out he was not a Jew. He was a Sioux Indian from the Rosebud Reservation, adopted as a baby and raised as a Jew. But when the book, oh God, I'm trying to behave. You know, we get a little crazy down in Happy Valley, so I'm trying to behave. When he opened the book, his true identity was found in the book. And when he realized, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Sioux, he went back to the old way. He started talking about the sacred path, the red path, the elders. He began to talk about Indian stuff. He began to play a flute. Because that music was always in him. But it was only when his true identity was made known that was released and he could become what he always was. Don't you see? I tried to be a drunk. I tried to act like a drunk. But one day, the book was open and I found out. This is who I really am. It's me. It's me. opening word gives us our true identity. And like Mary, we stand and we say tonight, I stand and we say tonight, be it unto me, be it unto me according to thy word. Not according to my feelings, because some days I don't feel saved. Not according to my emotions, because they'll lie to me. But according to the word of God. Just let me be, Brother Barry. That's all I want to be. I just want to be what the word says I am. To be a reflection of the living God. That my wife, are you still with me? That my wife, that my children, that my neighbor can see Jesus. That's what I want to be. That they can see the Word for this hour made flesh. Is that your desire tonight? Can we just raise our hands to Him? Oh Lord. Father, if I kept you people long, I'm sorry, God. But just trying to bring them to that place, Lord. When I look into your word, God, I want to see my true reflection. Oh God. Let me see my daddy's eyes. Let me see my daddy's smile. Let me see the character of my father. Granted, Lord, like the slave that had been brought here to America. They tried to buy him because he acted different. Conducted himself. They said, what makes him act that way? Said, I wondered myself till I found out he's the son of a king. In his country, his father is king. Though he's wayward from his land, he still conducts himself after the order and the character of his father's kingdom. They may have never saw his father. May they have never saw his kingdom. But they knew what his father was. They knew what kind of kingdom that he had by the way the son conducted himself. Oh God. Oh God, let me reflect you, Lord, to a dying generation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, something be said that we can just see ourselves a little clearer in the word. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to lay aside every weight, every feather, every sin, Lord, that holds us back from achieving that spot in you, that place that you've foreordained of us to be, Lord. Grant it tonight, God, I pray for every person here, for Brother Barry, Lord, the church, God. We thank you, Lord, for such a man of God to bring forth the word in this area. Bless them, Lord. Bless the ministry. Bless the people here, Lord. Oh, Father, may we consume the word and consume the word until the word consumes us. Grant it tonight, Lord, I pray. Oh, Father. Oh, grant it, Lord, in all of our lives. Grant it, Lord, I ask you tonight. Amen. Are you here? Maybe you're a little cold on the Lord. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe you feel like God don't love you. Brother, I've been having such a struggle. I don't know if God even knows who I am. Oh, He knows you tonight, friends. You say, but Brother Darrell, the Word spoke to my heart tonight. I want to reconsecrate myself. I want to dive deeper into the Word. I want to get more in love with Jesus. Oh, many people come to the altar many times. I've prayed for many of them. Brother Darrell, pray for me. I get closer to God. I've told every one of them, you want to get closer to God? Brother Bam said, read your Bible and pray. Oh, God, may we do that, Lord. May we get back into our Bibles, Lord. May we get back into our prayer closets, Lord. God, let the hunger, Lord, let the hunger for the Word return into our lives, God. Grant it, Lord. Let revival break out in our hearts once again, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, let us lay upon the Lord. May we lay upon your altar, Lord, until we become the very reflection of your Word. Grant it, Lord Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, sister. Yes, ma'am.
According to your word, according to your promises, sets me free according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Once again now.
I give you. breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I live alone every breath that I take. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that has been brought to us in this last day, Lord, that becomes so clear and so real to us, Lord. And Father God, your word is not such a thing, Lord, that is far off in a distant sense, Lord, but for us to be able to come to the realization, Lord, that it's me that the Scripture is speaking of. It's me that was seen in those visions about the last day. And Lord, to find our place and to know who we are. And to see, Lord, how that we come to that place, Lord, our faith rises and then we can claim those things that are ours. Father God, we come to you tonight with thanksgiving. And we just say, Lord Jesus, we love you and we appreciate you so much, Lord, for eyes that can see and ears that can hear. Minister, Lord, every heart, I pray. Encourage each one. Father, we give our hearts, our lives afresh to you, Lord, and ask, dear God, that you would help us to walk in the realization of who we really are. Bless those who are sick and those who are reaching out, Lord, and those who mourn and the passing away of loved ones, Lord. We just commit the needs of your people in your hands, Lord. Bless the balance of our week. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray all of these things. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I forgot to mention this evening here, we want to remember Sister Jackie's sister who had a stroke this week and is out of the hospital now, back home. Not out of the hospital yet. We sure want to remember her in prayer. Appreciate y'all coming tonight. Appreciate Brother Darrell coming tonight and just sharing his heart with us. And we just appreciate God's people and God's goodness to us. Sing this tonight as we go. I go to the rock. And sing it as you leave tonight. Shake one another's hands and may God bless you. I go to the rock of salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Earth all around is sinking sand. On Christ the solid stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock of salvation. And I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the storm.
Solid rock I stand.